Monday.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. My name is Reverend Anderson Jemmett, and I'm the minister in charge of the Prerogative Nazarene Worship Center, the place where worship is central. I want to first thank God for the opportunity to bring this program to you this morning. I want to thank Federal Motor Spears for your continual devotion as you continue to sacrifice to this broadcast. I'm praying and I'm believing God that He will continue to supply your every need, that your business will continue to flourish. Also want to thank the Church of the Nazarene for this opportunity. This morning, I want to look at a portion of scripture taken from the book of Acts, chapter 8, reading from verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariots, read Isaiah the prophet. Amen. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generations? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And Philip said, And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariots to stand still. And they went down both into the water. And Philip baptized the eunuch. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Heavenly Father, this morning in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray your anointing over your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that it would be a time of refreshing to somebody's life in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today I want to look at the secret of the presence of God. One of the cries of the church is for the presence of God. Many of us still continue to ask God for His presence. I believe that our seeking after God takes us into His presence. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, it tells us to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. Moses in Exodus 33, 12 through 15, and let me read verse 15. Then Moses said unto him, If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from this place. In the first recorded sermon of Christ, He took occasion to lay down some of the great principles that would govern the successful operation of prayer. Jesus was interested only in praise that was successfully prayed, that brought the answer. prayer that would, if needs be, move the very mountains. True prayer is very essential if we are going to access the presence of God. Psalms 100 and verse 4 reminds us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. How focused are we on God when we come into his place of worship? When we go into the house of the Lord? Jesus told men that before praying, that they were to seclude themselves where they would be free from interruptions. Joachim said, and I quote, "Our calling as Christians is not to be clever men, intellectual men, efficient men, denominational men, or even hard-working men. We are called to be Christ-like men. There can be no higher calling. We may be all the others, clever, intellectual, and efficient, without the Spirit's fullness. And there may be beneficial traits, but we can never be Christ-like men and women apart from the Spirit's enabling." End of quote. The power which we speak of is not primarily to work miracles or to create great sensations as to our abilities. It is rather power to go on when the going is hard, to stick to our assignment when others think that we are fools and failures, to live holy lives when the atmosphere around us is foul with sin, to believe God when the evidence appears contrary, to preach the word when men reject it, and stay with the minority that is right when more and more are switching to the easy way that is wrong, to endure to the end, to triumph over every adversary, and to enter his glory. Brothers and sisters, this morning, it takes the presence of God going with us if we are going to endure. The power of the Spirit is conditioned on continued submission and prayer. The Spirit of power is the Spirit of prayer. Zechariah referred to him as the Spirit's grace and supplication. Supplication is our part. Grace is his bestowal in response. If the supplication subsides, so does the grace. The Bible tells us, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Philippians 4, verses 5 through 7. These are they which keep the divine current or presence going with us. How I pray that every believer receive this revelation of the Spirit and the sanctification. How I pray, if you have not reached the place or were there before, but now you are not experiencing the fullness of the presence of Jesus, that you would develop or seek to develop, that you would seek to go after or get back to the place where such is happening, where the presence of Almighty God is real. Don't tell me this was for yesteryear. I'm suggesting to you this morning that it is for today. One of the things that I've realized is that people have exchanged prayer for something else. No, the presence of God. You and I have got to create the atmosphere. How often would you have heard some person say, "I didn't feel the presence of God. Things was just normal." Brother, sister, it is up to you to create the atmosphere. The presence of God is everywhere. But God's presence don't really show up until we really create the atmosphere. When last have you prayed until you had a breakthrough? When last have you prayed and sought after Almighty God until you felt the presence of Almighty God? You can go into your congregation tomorrow and you can be among persons who are singing and you can be quiet and you can be looking all around and wondering what is happening. You don't feel anything. Where are these people rejoicing? I want to let you know it's because they are creating the atmosphere for God's presence to move in their lives. Hallelujah. Jesus told his disciples not to be like the hypocrites are. Don't pray to be seen of man. Pray to the Father in secret. Because in the act of prayer, you're entering into the presence of Almighty God. In the act of prayer, you are entering into the presence of Almighty God. Most everyone will tell you that God is in heaven. But the great secret of prayer is to realize and understand that he is also in the very place where you are. He's also in the very place where you are. God's presence is everywhere. But we need to create the atmosphere. We need to dive in. You know, I've gone into some places where the presence of God was so strong that I sort of folded my arms. I actually didn't want to reach out my hand because it seemed, that the presence of God was cutting. I don't know if you understand the term, but when you get into that place, when you begin to experience God, where prayer and we're seeking after God's heart is concerned, then you'll understand what I'm talking about. Most everyone will tell you that God is in heaven. True, he's in heaven, but he's right here on earth with us. He's everywhere, right? He's omnipresent. Hallelujah. If we can know this, if we can realize that he is here, then our very attitude towards this house would be different. How we approach his presence would be different. The Bible says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter things before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few, according to Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2. God's presence is everywhere. The psalmist asks a question, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your presence? Psalms 139 and verse 17. In that same portion of scripture, he says, if I take the wings of the morning, and if I fly to the uttermost parts of the earth, you are there. God is everywhere. He is as omnipotent as the air that we breathe. He is as omnipresent as the very air that we breathe. He doesn't come and he doesn't go. How different our lives would be if we recognize that someone is watching us. If you recognize that whatever you do, somebody is watching you, how different your life would be. Psalm 34 and verse 7 tells us that the angel of the Lord encamp running about them that fear him and deliver them. You cannot see him. You cannot see the angels. Neither can I. But they are there. They are here. Hallelujah. You want to experience the manifest presence of Almighty God. Or I want to experience the manifest presence of Almighty God. In God's presence, you become aware of the condition of your heart. Things that have never bothered you before suddenly begins to trouble you. Things like words that wound others, words that exalt self, words that contradict God. The Bible tells us in Psalms 91 that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Oh Lord, that secret place. When last have you gone into that secret place and decide, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Words of Jacob I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. There's a secret place where we can enter in with God, where we experience the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Psalm 16 and verse 11 tells us that in the presence of the Lord, there is a fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord, there's a fullness of joy. Come on. Are you experiencing it? There is nothing that guarantees a maximum protection like God's presence. When you are in God's presence, He hides you in His pavilion, and no evil or power will be able to take you out of His hands. There are benefits for being in the presence of God. Can I call a few of them? There is hope in the presence of God, according to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. There's love in the presence of God, according to Romans 8, 35 and 37. There's joy in the presence of God, according to Psalm 16 and verse 11. There's peace in the presence of God, according to Philippians 4, 6 and 7. If the church is going to experience the manifest presence of God, she needs to go back to Bethel, a place or the place of His manifest presence. Sometimes in service, we may have a few frills or a few chills, or we may feel a few cold bumps, and that's all. I want more than a few cold bumps. I want to experience the manifest presence of God. It means if this is going to happen, I've got to be a God chaser. I've got to be running after God. I've got to be seeking after God. I've got to be crying after God. I've got to be waiting upon God. Hallelujah. I've got to be crying out unto Almighty God. How are you experiencing, or should I ask the question, are you experiencing the manifold presence of Almighty God? Or do you believe you have got to go somewhere in some international service among some prophets in order to experience the presence of Almighty God? How would I like to see His glory? See what Isaiah saw in the temple, what the disciples saw on the mountain of transfiguration, or what was experienced at the dedication of the temple when the glory of the Lord filled our temple. Sometimes I wonder if the glory of God has departed, if the glory of God has departed, because sometimes you get the impression that people seem to be coming on for the ride. I want to suggest to us this morning that it is more than that. Hallelujah. The manifest presence of God filling our sanctuaries. Hallelujah. Where the preacher cannot preach, where the sick is being healed, where people are being delivered, where devils are being cast out. Yes. That's what the word of God says. They that believe in me, in my name, they shall cast out devils. Don't tell me that there are no more devils in the church. Something has gone wrong somewhere. We need to again experience the manifest presence of Almighty God. But how are we going to do that? How are we going to experience that tangible presence of God where the sick is being healed, where alcoholics are being delivered, where transformation is being taken place, where sinners are being saved? I remember the days when people walk off the road and right into the church because the Spirit of God was so strong. The presence of Almighty God. Nobody invited them in, they just walk in. We like to see that happening again. The glory of God. Father God, I cry for the restoration of the manifest presence of God in our places of worship. The manifest presence of God in our places of worship. I've got a sign in our church that says holiness. plus intense prayer plus vision equals revival. Intense prayer seems to be a thing of the past in some circles. But yet we want revival. We want God to come through for us. We want to hear that voice. Now, brothers and sisters, if we are going to get to know that voice, we need to get back on our faces and cry out to Almighty God. We need to pause even at this moment and ask God to forgive us of the sin of prayerlessness or prayer little. Because some people have prayed, yes, but sadly to say, they are not experiencing God in His fullness. We need to get back to that place. What is going to bring about this restoration? The Bible said that if my people who are called by my name, if they would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands. Church, our lands need to be healed. Our lands needs to be healed day after day. Some days don't pass unless there's another murder somewhere. Our lands need to be healed. And the harsh thing about it is that people are pointing an accusing finger at the church. If the church this, and if the church next, oh, are they correct? Maybe in some areas, because truthfully, I believe that in some quarters the church is praying. But we need to get back to that place where we are no longer satisfied seeing all that the devil is doing to the lives of men and women. Seeing the coldness and the lethargy in the church among people who are called by the name of Christ. When we get back to the place where our hearts begin to go out after God, Lord, save our people. Lord, save our nation. Lord, deliver us. Hallelujah. Once you experience God in His glory, you can't turn away from Him or forget His touch. It's not just an argument or a doctrine. It's an experience. I've come to the place where I believe that many who go into church have not had that experience, have not really experienced God. It is one thing to ask Him to come into your life. It's another thing to experience Him in His fullness. It causes a change. You're no longer the same. Your language changes. Your attitude changes. There's something that has happened that you were not responsible for when you gave way to Almighty God. And His Holy Spirit changes your life. Hallelujah. Now you have a new soul. You're a new person. The only thing that is going to turn the favor of God towards us is our hunger. How hungry are you for God? The Bible tells us that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Psalms 42 and verse 1 tells us that as the deer pants for the waters, so with my soul after thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your soul thirsty? Are you longing after God? Have you come to the place where you find out that something is really missing from my life and I can't go on any longer without it? And you get bound to your face and begin to pray and cry out to Almighty God, Lord, do it again. Father, this morning I pray you would do it again. Do what you did at Pentecost. Do what you did in the early church. Lord, change our hearts. Father, bring revival in our places of worship. May our hearts be revived. Father, may our soul be revived. May we experience you like never before in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, visit your church in Jesus' name. Thank you this morning. Thank you again for giving me this opportunity to share. And may the blessings of Almighty God be upon your life. Have a great day in your church today in Jesus' precious name. Because